Tim Fitzgerald joins us.
It's Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com to join us as we break down the Kansas State game coming up Saturday in Manhattan. Fitz, how are you?
I'm good. It looks like we're going to have nice weather for a night game. It'll be awesome.
Finally, it's not going to be 95 degrees, I don't feel like, so it should be conducive to a good football game. KU seems to be playing a little better, especially offensively. They handled Houston with no problem. I thought there might be a problem. There wasn't. Are they getting better?
It appears so, and I think they're beginning to mesh offensively with the new system and the talent, and when that happens, they're going to be really – really fun to watch what we expected. I think they're turning into the team we expected at the start of the season. It's just been a unbelievable, strange start to the year for them. I just never have seen anything like it. And they're better than what their record says. I know that's kind of cliche, but this team really, really is. They got as good a talent as most teams in this conference, and they showed Houston that they're not messing around last week.
Do you wish they'd done it against any other team but Houston? I think in this version of the Big 12, just about any conference win is a meaningful win because, you know, you can move up or down the standings with in 1 week. But does Houston count for that still?
Well, ask TCU. They went in there and won, so Houston's shown they can do it. They're just in a first phases of a rebuild. They don't have a reliable quarterback, and these are the results you often get when you don't have reliable quarterback play and you're just not that good a team.
Fair enough.
What are you looking at this game? Obviously, when it comes to these two teams playing, everybody's watching and paying attention here in Kansas. How do you see this game unfolding? Who has to do what in order to win it? Obviously, We're more worried about KU. What do they have to do to possibly win this game against K-State?
Well, I think whoever establishes their run game, including the quarterback run, in this game is going to be at a big advantage. And if you stop the other team, what are you committing in terms of resources to do so? So if a team can run the ball and keep some balance in their offense and get the ball downfield, they're going to be in good shape. And KU's capable of that. The question becomes, can they take away Kansas State's run, including the quarterback run? And, you know, they probably are still having some nightmares for what happened with Garrett Green against KU. And Avery Johnson's an even bigger running threat who took last week off from running the ball so that he'd be healthy for this game. And that plan worked out. So it'll be interesting. To me, it's always about the line of scrimmage, but this game in particular, if you're not winning that line of scrimmage, you've got an uphill battle.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, our frequent guest, publisher of GoPowerCat.com. Kansas State, Kansas, set for kickoff at 7 o'clock in Manhattan on Saturday night. Then K-State has before mentioned Houston, and then a bye. Arizona State finishes at home against Cincinnati and on the road at Iowa State. And what, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but
right,
as we look down that road, that game starts to stand out a little bit.
You know, this is so funny how a season plays out. You looked at this game as being monumental, and it is a big game, but we thought this would be a matchup of two top 20, if not 15 teams. And Houston we thought would be down, but, you know, then you thought Arizona State and Cincinnati, well, those are not easy wins too. Well, those teams are both playing pretty well. Cincinnati's got a huge one this weekend at Colorado. And, of course, going to Iowa State is always a challenge, and doing so in late November. The weather will be probably better than last year's game in Manhattan, but it still will probably be a pretty cold night up there.
So you said KU is better than its record. That's probably fair. We've probably figured out now that K-State is better than it's showing at BYU, and their offense has really picked up a lot from there. Avery Johnson is proving a lot as a passer. Whose learning curve do you think has been faster? Has K-State progressed at the same rate, do you think, as KU? How much of an edge might that give them?
Yeah, I think K-State's been improving since the Tulane game, and they improved within the realm of that game. Almost losing that on the road, going up against a a really good quarterback who was spreading the ball around the field, and they've kind of figured out they're a better team when they pressure the quarterback, and they've kind of carried that in. I don't think the BYU game is that reflective of Kansas State. It was one of those nights when things just went horribly wrong, but I'll say this. The way they've reacted to adversity since that game has been much more productive. And we saw it at Colorado. We saw it, you know, the next week with, you know, Oklahoma State. We've just seen them respond to some of the same scenarios they faced at Brigham Young much differently. And I think that's been a really big growth for this team. But you go back early in the season, if you could limit K-State's running game and make Avery beat you with his arm, you might win that game. Last week, he absolutely torched West Virginia. That accomplished slowing down DJ Giddens. And as I mentioned, he wasn't running the ball. So it was a game where K-State needed to win with his pass, and they did. And I think that's a sign of the whole team growing, let alone Avery Johnson.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to my question. I was just curious on how you've thought the development of Avery Johnson has been. Obviously, here went to Mays.
Yep.
How do you think he's progressed here as a sophomore and been the man? He's been the quarterback. He is the quarterback. There's no question there. How do you think he's handling it, and where do you think he's at in his progression?
Yeah, these back-to-back road wins, first at Colorado, which was a significant challenge. He had to make a big play at the end to get it done, and he did. And then you go down, and as I said, he was a pocket passer essentially last Saturday. He had to elude like one or two pass rushes, really didn't get touched that often, didn't get tackled the entire game, and he turned into a pocket passer that can absolutely slice you apart, made some really pretty throws. And this kid's still just scratching the surface. There's so much he can develop into, and we haven't seen the full ability of him to throw the ball and run the ball. But I think, you know, that well could be on display Saturday. We'll find out. But I know he's intending on being a big part of the running game with DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards. And if that all comes to fruition, Avery Johnson is going to be an elite quarterback. He's just kind of got to grow his way into it, but he's getting there.
Tim Fitzgerald with us, GoPowerCat.com. Talk some about the defense here, because it's been really good all season long, and we always spend our time talking about Giddens and Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards, and I feel like we slight the defense to some degree. Tell us about some of those stalwarts who are playing so well.
Well, Brendan Mott at defensive end, you know, 2 years ago he was the other guy that got single teamed because Felix Anjudike Uzama was so dominant on the other end. And last season, he was the top returning sack collector in the Big 12, which kind of slipped by people. He wasn't quite as good last year. He has been absolutely dominant this season, even catching double teams. He plays with a high motor and really finishes off sacks and pressures to the point where quarterbacks just surrender and throw the ball away. The linebackers have been elite. Austin Romaine at middle linebacker is a totally different player than a year ago. He's turned into a really good true sophomore linebacker. And on the back end, they've got some really nice pieces. The back end's probably been a little bit more mistake-prone than the front end, but they stop the run, they force teams to throw, and then the back end of the defense has been good enough to bottle things up. Kansas State's given up three 300-yard passers this year and won all three games because they limit the actual explosive plays, and they also do a good job of tackling after the catch. And that'll be something they have to replicate on Saturday.
What has it been like for you to cover the Big 12 at 16 teams? It's not my job, but to me it's like almost overwhelming because you have six teams at 3-1 or better, and you want to think like, okay, well, they'll probably play some combination of the same teams, but it's not the case. So I have to go, look, who did this team have left? Who's this team? And it's just like, where does it even – how do you go about it? It seems like extremely impossible sometimes.
It is, man. It's hard to follow. And think about how upside down this conference is. We thought Arizona State and BYU would be the two worst teams. Well, BYU might be the best team, and Arizona State's up there. Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State, they're all down and towards the bottom. Arizona, we thought those would be in the upper tier. So that's been the confusion, is trying to sort out who's really good and who's just played well and who's, you know, who's bad. I've come to the conclusion Utah is indeed bad. And you just don't know what's coming every week. It's been really hard. And And most of all, I think all of us who travel, whether it's parents, media, or the players and coaches, this conference is a real challenge. I mean, K-State played a Big 12 after dark game, kicking at around 9:30 Central last week at Colorado. They turn around this most previous weekend and head to West Virginia for a 6:30 game Central time. They get back, and now they have a 7 o'clock game. I think that's what's been really interesting is the number of night games the Big 12's playing. They've actually had some really conducive time slots and platforms, network platforms, to pull some decent ratings. I think that surprised me. But, boy, you just better put your travel britches on in this conference because you're going to be going all over the place.
Do you think that, you know, and we're talking, obviously, with teams can beat anybody in this conference. How do you see the BCS rolling out with this? Are we going to get a couple teams? Is it just going to be one?
Yeah. CFP.
The CFP, sorry. How do you think that's going to play out with the Big 12? How many teams do you think are going to get a chance? Because they're going to beat each other up throughout the years, and you know how that's going to work. If you got three losses or two losses and the SEC has two losses, you're not going to get it.
Right. Right. It's like arguing with your wife. You can't agree, so you lose.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But back to Jeff's point, the schedules are unbalanced. You look at BYU, if they win this weekend at UCF, they should be undefeated. Again, like you said, anyone can get you, and they almost got by Oklahoma State last weekend. But you look at Iowa State, they should win out until Kansas State goes up there. And on paper, Kansas State should win out until they go to Iowa State. So here's the best-case scenario for this to go down. Kansas State, Iowa State go unbeaten until they meet in Ames. Colorado goes unbeaten and ends up 10-2, and that might be important. And you got BYU cruising through the conference. They go 12-0. Well, you're going to have an 11-1 team playing a 12-0 team for the conference championship. Particularly BYU is the loser. How do you turn them down at 12-1? And with that said, whoever loses, if Iowa State loses to Kansas State, they're 11-1. That's a hard sell not to, if they're in the top 15. And oh yeah, Colorado. Guys, I'm telling you, if that program rattles off 5 wins here to close the season, they will be in the top 15 of the rankings, and you better believe ESPN is going to want them in the playoff because of those television ratings. I think the Big 12 is in a really strong position as long as those four leaders continue to emerge and separate from the rest of the pack.
Good stuff as always. I wanted to get to basketball. You think football is jumbled? Wait till we get to basketball season.
Oh,
but we'll put that off for the next time we talk to you, Fitz.
Okay, boys, good to hear from you.